nothing compares to the promises we have in them. So this is the longest title of a message you'll ever see. Christy noted that it barely fit on the page there. A Wise and Healthy Home, How the Fruit of the Spirit Transforms Your Home. Today, the emphasis is on the fruit of joy, that peace of the fruit. Now, what are the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, you know, self-control. I'll probably miss one.
Faithfulness,
yeah. Gentleness, yeah, see? That's why I should read. But Jacob read the verses a minute ago. There are a lot of negative things, and then there's some positive things. But that word joy sort of leaps out. We talked about love a couple of weeks ago, you know, in our agape to one another. But the word joy is a tremendous word. You know, and joy is related to happiness and cheerfulness. Although cheerful is a scriptural word, happiness is a temporary situation. Having said that, did you know that when you laugh, did you know that the arteries in your body open wider? Did you know they've studied people and they put them in front of a comedy or a lighthearted, warm-hearted type show or movie, and they've gauged their cardiac activity and it been wide open, and they put the same people in front of documentaries and so forth that are heavy, and the arteries start to restrict and constrict a little bit. So there's something to the joy in our hearts. There is a reason that is written about in Old Testament and New Testament. Proverbs 17:22 is a verse that falls out, lands on the floor, and it's one of those verses that I walk around with and I can't really get over. And it simply says this: a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So when I think the joyful heart is good medicine, medicine for our homes, medicine for us individually, medicine. When you have an ailment, the first place you might go is to the medicine cabinet, but maybe the first place you should go is to look into the joy in your life. Has joy been snuffed out? And say, Lord, I want the good medicine from you above and beyond even the medicine that we have, you know, through science and so forth. I want that good medicine. So when Jesus says, let my joy be complete in you, think on this. Let my good medicine be complete in you. So we hear the word joy, and we've got some scripture. I just want to read a few scriptures, and you just... just kind of listen to those. Jacob read out of Galatians. In Philippians chapter 4, we'll get into a little more detail, but in Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to start with verse 4 there. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We even sing a song about that. We've sung those words before. Let your reasonableness, boy, that's a big one, be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. And you know, Jesus said, Martha, Martha, twice. And since I'm not Jesus, I'm going to read it one more time. Do not be anxious about anything. If we were to go around this room this morning and I said, tell me what you're really anxious about this day, some of us would have major things we're anxious about. And I'm instructing you by God's word, do not be anxious. Cast your cares upon Him. And even pray this prayer. Say, Lord, I'm trying not to be anxious. I need your strength. I need your Holy Spirit to come and help me not to be anxious. But let's continue to read. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Notice that. Supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now, this is not a message that says, let's be positive. Positive thinking is fine. But it's not positive thinking we need. It's the joy of knowing the Lord and His Holy Spirit in our life that we must have. We must be full of His Spirit in order to have His joy. It is not just thinking everything will work out. That's okay. You know, I mean, we ought to think positively. No question about that. But sometimes thinking positively is moving past the realities. And the joy of the Lord says, the realities as I see them are not the realities in the way that God sees them. You know, I see a mountain, God sees the mountain removed. I see a problem, God sees how I can take the problem away. And so we need to see through the eyes of God. What about 1 Thessalonians 5:16? Anybody know that verse without? And there you go. It's as short as Jesus wept. You know, I can memorize those verses. Jesus wept, but I can remember this one too. Rejoice always. So let me read a few of the Proverbs. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and joy may end in grief. We get that. But at the same time, a heart of peace gives life to the body, and envy rots the bones. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. So even your countenance is affected by joy. Well, the word joy and rejoice are repeatedly used in Scripture in the lives of the believers. The Greek word is cheerio. You like that word? Cheerio. Not Cheerios, but cheerio. And we think on this word, and it means to be happy, full of cheer, choosing joy. Now, I'm not sure happy really describes, because the word happy is meaning something different here than what we mean in our world, and I'll get to that in a moment. But in the early days, when Christians would greet one another, you know what they would say? Rejoice. Rejoice. Re, meaning do again, continue, joy. Have joy. Have joy. Let me share joy. You know, the word even sounds good, right? You know, have joy. And it's not just a pep talk. It's something on the inside. Sometimes the word has been translated hail or Godspeed, but what it really means is have joy. Hail! Have joy! Take the joy of the Lord. Paul and Silas, we'll read about them in a minute, were in a jail cell, and they rejoiced so much that God came and visited them, and they broke out of the jail cell was broken down. They didn't have to break out. Perhaps during the great persecution that surrounded these believers, the greeting took on a tremendous meaning. Can you imagine that? You've been tossed out of your home, rejoice. You have been cut off from your family, rejoice. You have been persecuted, rejoice. Rejoice always. When Paul writes those words, he does not write them lightly. And I would say to our homes, go to your home and let your home be a rejoicing home. Let your home have joy, the good medicine of the Lord. Now, happiness, the way we mean it, is not the same as joy. Happiness is an emotion based on circumstances. I'm happy that he hit that 3-point shot. I'm happy that my car does not need a new alternator. You know, I'm happy about this, and I'm happy about that. Happiness comes and goes, though, right? You know, we have happiness, and it's, you know, and an hour later, we're down in the dumps. Well, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the joy that is in here because the Lord lives here. In Philippians 4:4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Double talk, right? I read this, I think Paul is anticipating the Philippians' questions. He's anticipating their pushback. And he's saying up front, rejoice. And again, I tell you, rejoice. Do any of you have problems? I can say with Paul, rejoice. Rejoice, not because you got a problem, but rejoice in your problems. Give thanks in your problems. Give thanks in the circumstances in which you find yourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul describes the conflicting emotions brought on by his own ministry. Verse 10 says, as sorrowful, yet I'm always rejoicing. I have sorrow, yet I'm still rejoicing. You know, the apostles were arrested, falsely accused, tried, beaten. And when they were released in Acts chapter 5, it says they departed the presence of the council. They left court, okay? They left court rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer the shame for His name. Have you ever rejoiced because you were worthy to receive shame? Worthy to receive not persecution, but maybe an ostracization or a little bit of something. In verse 25, Acts 16, by midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. James 1, 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, because your faith will be tested. Your character will be built. Who likes character building time? I don't. But count it joy anyway, you know. Psalm 32:11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. If joy is so big, why don't we focus on it more in our homes? I want a joyful home. Kids, I want to give you good medicine because we're going to rejoice. We're going to be thankful for the things we have. Thankful for the Lord's provision for us. We're going to remember to thank God for a warm home and thank God for good food and clean water. We're going to remember all those things, but most of all, we're going to say, I thank the Lord that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have so much to be rejoicing for. You know the song, Happy Day? Oh, happy day, it fixed my choice. You know? And it says, rejoicing every day. Would that not be great if Christian people were so rejoicing that it was contagious? Well, how attractive is it when people are joyful? Now, I'm not talking about slapping on a smile. Real joy changes your countenance for you. You don't have to do it from the outside in. Romans 14:7, for the kingdom of God is not eating, it is not drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy and the Holy Spirit. You ever thought of joy as a choice? Paul gives us the command, rejoice always, because we cannot rejoice. We can be people who are downtrodden and not rejoicing, but we should be people who rejoice. And you know, when we rejoice the most should be when things are the thickest. When things are the most gloomy, our joy should pour out. And I got to be honest, in my own testimony, sometimes when things don't go well, my joy level tends to dry up. That may not be true of anybody else. And I have to remind myself, be joyful in these circumstances. Why should we rejoice always? I'm going to give you some reasons. I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give you some reasons why we should be joyful. First of all, we should rejoice because of the sovereignty of our Father. Now, we don't run from the word sovereign, but He is sovereign. He is God Almighty. He is the one who holds the world in His hands. He holds us in His hands. Romans 8:28. You know the verse? You know it? And we know that all things work together for good. Literally meaning God works all together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I love to hear Johnny Erickson Tata. Anytime give her testimony because she's gone. I mean, you know, you would think being a quadriplegic would be enough. She's had cancer. She's had this. She's had that. She's had all these things. And every time she says, well, Lord, there must be something good in your purposes through this. And I'm in awe of that kind of testimony. And we know that God works together all things for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. It may not seem good. And Paul said temporary afflictions, but it will be good for the complete, total tapestry that God is preparing for us. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I shall praise Him. Would it be great if the dads of America were to come before their children and say, you know, Dad has a lot that he can do, but Dad is very limited. But my strength comes from the Lord. I can't accomplish so many things. I can accomplish a few things in the physical, and that's about it. But I have the Lord, and the Lord is my strength. As a matter of fact, the verse actually says in Nehemiah 8, which is a great passage to study, they're building the wall, they're having all these issues, and the verse pops out of the page, the joy of the Lord is what? My strength. That's what keeps me going. Wouldn't it be great if the moms of America, moms of the world, how about that, were to come before their husbands and their churches and their kids and say, you know, mom gets tired in body, but the joy of the Lord gives me the strength for the day, gives me strength for the journey. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus reminded them, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. This is after the 72 had been sent out, and they were like kids in a candy store. They had this power. They were healing people, and they were charged up. I would be too. Nevertheless, Jesus said, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. We rejoice so much over the wrong things. We should always rejoice that our names are in heaven. When we go back to Psalm 103 and we study that passage, we think about all the things David says are the benefits of knowing God. Some of those are in the physical, so we focus on that. But you know the one that really should be focused on? That He has forgiven our iniquity. He has redeemed us from the pit. And we ought to be thankful for that. Well, another reason we should rejoice is because of the grace of the Son of God. Now, last year I used three words, probably to where you are tired of hearing them, right? Mercy, compassion, and, grace. Yeah. I use those words again and again and again. God has mercy on us. He has compassion toward us. And He went the extra mile and He's given grace to us. You know, it's not that He didn't give us what we don't deserve, or that he held back what we do deserve. He's given us something we don't deserve. And I'm thankful for that. In 1 John 2:2, and I'm studying 1 John right now, by the way, just powerful. But anyway, 1 John 2:2, and He Himself is the propitiation. He is the payment. He is the satisfying sacrifice for our sins. And not ours only, but for the whole world. Could we don't have to do it here. Have you ever thought about really just giving yourself a high five in the morning? When I am, by the grace of the Lord, He sacrificed Himself for me. Therefore, I do not have to fear the judgment. I don't have to fear death. I have nothing to fear because I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, come on, that's good news. That's the news the world needs to hear. Romans 5:11. We also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We are together with God again. We've been reconciled with Him. 1 Peter 1. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, glory in the revelation of Jesus Christ. We heard this morning on the way over, somebody mentioning the first in the Westminster Catechism is to the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And I tell you this, if you don't learn to enjoy God now, you probably are not looking forward to enjoying Him forever. I want to enjoy. Do you like to enjoy? What's something you enjoy? A good cup of coffee? Anybody enjoy a good cup of coffee? Yeah, man, it's good. You know, a good fire, a fire in a fireplace, man, that's good stuff. I enjoy those things. Can you transpose that and say, I can enjoy the Lord always? I'm never alone. I'm in enjoying the presence of the Lord. The third reason, we rejoice because of the presence of the Spirit. Paul writes in Romans 14:17 that we have joy in the Holy Spirit. We ought to walk around our houses and say, Lord, I want this house to be a Spirit-filled house. I want to pray over the table, over the kitchen, over the bedrooms. I want everything in this house to be joy in the Holy Spirit. Another reason we have joy is that we have assurance of heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Paul says again, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. To die is gain. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I don't know what pleasures you. I like, you know, thing. I mentioned a couple of those things. Pleasures forevermore at his right hand. Do you know God is not a God who wants to put you through the ringer, but God is a God who wants you to seek him. And when you seek him, he rewards you. And one of those rewards is joy that is unspeakable, that is joy that is deep, joy that is overflowing, joy that is actually everlasting. You ever known anybody that has the happy gene? They're just born with it. I've known a few people like that. They make me sick. No, they just have it, you know. Nothing. And I was born not with that necessarily, that gene. So when my joy is made complete, it's because God has visited. And because I am prone to overthink, prone to overanalyze, prone to look at the dark side. You know, they nickname me Mr. OSHA because I go through life. So, you know, I don't know. That's going to be, and always pointing out how it can go wrong. Well, you know, living life with the Lord is living life like a kid who enjoys because we have the joy of the Lord. Do you ever seen a toddler? A toddler when something and their laugh box gets turned over and they are enjoying the simplest thing. The other day, John David was washing his truck or something and, you know, hunting all the time, got to wash it all the time. Anyway, and Jay is standing inside the screen door and John David just took the hose and kind of squirted over the door. And Kristen's behind and she's filming this, and every time he'd do that, he would just give a belly laugh. Ah! And then you could do it 10 times, and he's still belly laughing over the hose being, you know, coming on the window and him standing there. And I watched that and I say, isn't it a shame that sometimes we get old and we can't just enjoy like that? I enjoy my Heavenly Father. I enjoy the Lord. Well, we also, a few more things. We rejoice because of the comfort of Scripture. I'm thankful for Scripture. I'm thankful. Man, I'm thankful for the written Word of God. I rejoice at your Word, Psalm 119 says, as one who finds great treasure. You know, sometimes I think God said, you know, thinks and looks at us and said, you know, hello. Said, you want all these benefits? I have written the Word down for you. You can eat it daily. Another reason we rejoice is because of the certainty of answered prayer. Matthew 21:22, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. We rejoice because of the fellowship of the saints. 1 Thessalonians 3, we give thanks. What thanks can we render to God for you? For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before God. And my goodness, one place the family of God ought to have the most joy is in the home. We ought to have joy. We ought to just be joyful folk. Not because we, you know, have everything going well, but because we have the Lord in our hearts and we rely on Him. We have the hope of heaven and we can look at each other and say, no matter what happens in the future, we have the promise of eternal life. We can laugh and we can enjoy. Sometimes you can't plan quality time, can you? You know, you can say, I'm going to go with this child and have quality time, and that child is not interested in quality time that day. You just can't plan it. But sometimes they just start to fall out of the trees, and you have an audience, and you have quality time. Sometimes we eat, and we go our different directions, but it was just not too long ago. We ate, and I remember sitting around the table probably for 2 hours just talking about life, the things, just talking. And those times you can't plan, but when they happen, they're rich. The joy of a family. Well, we also rejoice because of the proclamation of the gospel. You can see in Acts chapter 15, they were great joy because of the conversion of the Gentiles. Praise the Lord about that. Well, now let's look at the negative side. Why don't we rejoice always? Some of us may not rejoice always because we lack confidence in the assurance of our salvation. I want to tell you, not only can you know, you can stand on the Word of God that you can be saved. God said, even in the simple verse of John 3:16, whoever believes shall have everlasting life. There's the witness of the Spirit to your life. Have assurance of salvation, confidence in your salvation. Another reason we don't rejoice is because of enemy attacks, and we allow the enemy to dictate the terms of our emotions. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now that's pretty bad. But I'm rejoicing in that. I've got joy because that lion cannot chew me up. Because he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. Well, another reason we don't rejoice is sometimes we have a heart of unbelief. And if you don't believe, it's hard to have joy in the Lord. If you don't trust, it's hard to have, you know, a real rejoicing attitude. James says in chapter 4, verse 7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you want joy back in your life, if you feel I'm going through a joyless period, then I implore you, I encourage you to say, Lord, I want to believe in you completely. I want to put the enemy on the run. I trust in you for my future, for my day, for my physical, mental, spiritual, emotional well-being. Another reason people don't rejoice is sometimes they're ignorant of truth. Or maybe they have an ungrateful spirit. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. But all through Scripture we're talking about having gratefulness and thanksgiving toward the Lord. Or maybe there's unreal expectation at times. Some churches teach that if you just serve the Lord, then everything's going to be all health, all wealth, and everything's going to be yours. But life is not like that. The fallen world is not like that. The enemy does not allow that to happen completely in the here and now. Jesus suffered as well. But I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to mention some things that steal your joy that may be under the radar, but individually and as families, all of us need to take our hoe like we're in a garden and take these things out. They need to be removed from our lives. Look at verses 2 and 3. Then we had a situation there in Philippians chapter 2 between two women. And it says, I want them to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So these were Christian people, but they were not in agreement. You ever had anybody you're not in agreement with? Well, yeah, obviously. Some things big, some things small. So the first thing I want to mention that will steal your joy is strife. In our homes, when there is strife, there is no joy in Mudville. Good reference to Casey and the Bad, right? There's no joy there. When things are sideways, there is no joy. When mom and dad are sideways, there's no joy. When the kids are sideways, you know, and we understand that happens. But you know, when strife is in the home, joy tends to be on the run. So I would encourage all of us. There are going to be times of disagreement. We got personalities. There are going to be times where we don't see eye to eye. But how we come to places of agreement, or how we even share our disagreements, can reduce that strife level. Do any of you like strife? You ever known people who seem to live for it? Man. It's just good night. It's just after a while they drain you dry. Just always wanting to create or stir the pot. Isn't that the way you said it? Stir the pot. And they quit it. I don't want it. It's toxic. Well, the second one is found in verse 6. And I've touched on this for a minute. But a second joy thief is the word anxiety. Look at verse 6 there. Do not be anxious about anything, but everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Strife steals joy. Anxiety also steals joy. Now, I have to admit, in Christy, in our relationship together, I'm the anxious one much more than her. Although she internalizes things, I just, But sometimes you get to a place when there's a crisis moment. And in the crisis moment, where is the first place you turn? Most of us turn to ourselves. We turn to a situation that seems impossible. We start to lament the fact that there is no way out of this situation. We start to sow seeds of anxiety in the home, in our own personal lives, in the health of our bodies. We need to sow joy instead of anxiety. A third joy thief, and this is something we could really dig deep on, and it comes from that verse 8, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now, let me go back to my example at the beginning. The documentary or the horror show versus the happy. It is interesting where we fix our minds. I don't know about you, but there are times when I'm studying a subject, maybe I'm watching something, and after a while I say, okay, enough of this, because this is making me really start to turn negative. Has that ever happened to anybody else? And everything is not Mayberry, I get. We have realities in life. But the way you approach those realities say a lot about where your focus is. What is your thought life focused on? What tends to dominate your thinking? I need more money. Well, that's a dominating thing that will surely snuff out joy. I can't have this relationship. Well, that is a thing that can actually dominate and snuff out life. What dominates your thought life? Looking back over this week, what was the thing you thought about the most? Where was your gaze fixed? Number 4. Verse 10, I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. They were supporting and sending Paul support. And I will say this, a lack of generosity snuffs out joy. But a generous heart, a generous spirit. As a matter of fact, does the Word of God say anything about how to give? It says, give with a begrudging heart. No. Be a cheerful giver. Cheerful giver. Be a joyful giver. Give with hilarity. Give to the absurd, you know, if we were to give to the opposite of what we logically think. Verse 11. Tends to speak. It says, not that I'm speaking of being need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. A lack of contentment also steals joy. So strife, anxiety, thought life, lack of generosity, lack of contentment, those things steal joy. Now, let me close by just saying some things joy will do. And I wish I had time. I've got, 20 more pages worth of stuff I could go through, because joy is such a deep subject. But our inheritance is to have joy, and it's part of the kingdom life. So let's go back and look at that verse again out of Proverbs. Proverbs 17:22. The joyful heart is good medicine, but the broken spirit, the crushed spirit, dries up the bones. So let's start with a negative. What does joy do? It overcomes the crushed spirit. People who are down and out, it can overcome that. People who have problems in life, people who are under the circumstances, it helps them overcome those circumstances. So now let's look at the positive. A joyful heart is good medicine. You want your home to be healed? Have people with joyful hearts. Body to be healed? Have a joyful heart. You want your Mind to be healed? Have a joyful heart. Emotions to be healed? Have a joyful heart. Do you want to hang on to the bitterness of yesterday or have a joyful heart? Where do you want to live? What things do you want to do? I was thinking of some practical ways to do this. And, you know, there are so many things. And, you know, you cultivate a relationship with God. You cultivate a forgiving spirit. We get that. You dwell on unseen realities and not the seen realities. You focus on those instead of what you see. Faith is looking past what you can see and believing in things that you don't see. Lord, I hadn't seen it yet. He says, no, you haven't seen it yet, but I have it here for you. Keeping a long view of life. Proverbs 15:15 talks about that. The cheerful heart has a continual feast. I heard someone this morning talking about feasting. And we went back, you remember when the oils, you know, they were out of oil. And Elijah said, bring all your containers here. And fill them full of oil. Elijah was there and he brought the woman and he said, bring all that you have. And every container was full until they ran out of containers. And you know, I like to think that I would keep finding containers. Think on this verse. The cheerful heart has a continual feast. Always at the table. Never full, but continually satisfied. You know, I encourage us to associate with cheerful people. Be a load lifter and not a burden maker. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens. In this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And we need some people who are load lifters, not burden makers. Sometimes it's nice to listen to good music. Sometimes it's nice to go outside and smell nature and see the colors and rejoice in the Lord's creation. Live a life of active love and be joyful. Be joyful in your home. I pray nothing more than this for you, that your joy, that your home would be a rejoicing home, rejoicing every day. Is anybody on board with that? Anybody want a joyful home? Do you want joyful people? You want to leave the house each day joyful? Do you want to have less strife? Man, simplify. Focus on the Lord and let His joy be made, as Jesus said, complete in you. May His medicine be complete in healing your home. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the joy of the Lord. Thank you that you did not leave us here without a remedy for this wounded spirit that has been thrust upon us because of the brokenness of sin in our lives. But Lord, we are recovering people. And we are recovering, being made complete and whole in you. And we want that joy that remains, the joy that is full. And Lord, I pray that you will fill our hearts with your Spirit. Help us to overflow with joy. In Jesus' name, amen.